Psalm 135, it's page 626 in the church Bibles, right in the middle. If you open it in the middle, you're almost there. 626 is the page. Psalm 135 is the psalm. Psalm 135. Let's hear the word of God together. A song of ascents. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all the depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings: Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land as an inheritance to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. And those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, praise the Lord. O house of Aaron, praise the Lord. O house of Levi, praise the Lord. You who fear him, praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord from Zion, to him who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word this morning. I'm going to sing our hymn, second hymn now, 120 in our hymn books. Let's consider together, which is Psalm 135. Psalm 135. We've been singing a hymn, haven't we, about praise. Let the praise of our heart be thine. We may sing with those who dwell above, adoring, praising Jesus, King of love. And it's one of the features, isn't it, of Christianity, to sing hymns and praise to God. And this psalm we have here is a hymn of praise in the hymnal of the Old Testament people of God, Israel. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we look at this psalm together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we come to it now in this part of the service, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to understand the meaning of these words, that it may speak into our hearts and situation, may become alive to us as the Holy Spirit would open this word to us. Lord, come and pour your blessing upon us today, we pray, and help us to truly praise your name for what you've done for us in delivering us and saving us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are your people, and you are our God. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a hymn of praise, isn't it? Praise the Lord is the opening words of this psalm. And this psalm is a call for the people of God to praise the Lord. So it begins with praise the Lord, and it ends with the same words, praise the Lord. It reminds us of the importance of praise. The importance of praise. Because as the people of God, we must sing and praise God, our Saviour. It gives us the reason for praise in verse 3, as you'll see on the wall behind me. It says there, doesn't it? Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. You'll know that the opening words, praise the Lord, and the finishing words of this psalm, praise the Lord, is that word, hallelujah, which we know very well, don't we? Hallelujah is the Hebrew term for praise the Lord. And it begins with these imperatives, these commands. There's 10 actually here, where it says, praise the Lord, praise Him, repeatedly. It says these words in the opening verses of this psalm, highlighting the importance that we ought to and we must praise the Lord. You'll see through the psalm those words, praise, 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 repeatedly. You may have a different translation this morning with you, and you may notice at the end it says, rather than praise the Lord, bless the Lord, in verses 19 and 20. You've got me thinking, what's the difference between praise the Lord and bless the Lord? We may pray in our prayers, we bless you, our God. What does that mean? Surely God is the one who blesses us, because the one who's higher and greater blesses the one who's lower. But we do pray, don't we? Bless the Lord. And this psalm says that at the end, bless the Lord. Well, Alec Motcher had this quote, and I found this very helpful in helping to understand the difference. And he says this, when He, that is God, blesses us, He reviews our needs and He meets them. He blesses us by meeting our needs. And when we bless God, we review His excellencies and we worship Him. We can't add anything to God, can we? But we worship Him as He blesses us. So we kneel before Him, which has the sense in that word of kneeling and blessing Him. And so this psalm brings it out powerfully that we are the people of God and we are to praise Him and bless Him. The psalmist reviews God's excellencies through this psalm. He declares, reveals His goodness. And this is shown through God's ongoing relationship with us, His people, and with the people in this psalm. God's dealings with His people. He has chosen you. If you're a Christian here this morning, He's chosen you. You are His treasured possession, as it says in verse 4. And He dwells with us. He dwells with you, as it says at the end of this psalm, as He dwells with the people in Jerusalem. And so the Lord shows He is good, doesn't He? He is good. And there's two main aspects I want to bring out from this psalm this morning. The Lord shows He is good by providing for His people, and the Lord shows He is good by delivering His people. And we'll see these two thoughts brought out very clearly in this psalm. Let's look at the first point this morning, which is verses 5 to 7. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth, and He sends lightnings with the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouses. The Lord is the one who provides for us, His people, as He provided for the people in the Old Testament. And we tend to praise, don't we, what is great and good. What is great and good. We look at our leaders in our land, the Prime Minister and other leaders in Parliament, and we can recognise, can't we, those which are good and those which are great. And we want a leader to be both great and good. But often that's not the case, is it? We have perhaps a leader who is good and sets lots of good things, and we think, that's a good leader. But then they don't seem to do anything. They don't show themselves to be great. They don't do what's good or uphold what is right. Although they may say lots of good things, they don't do it. And we don't praise that kind of leader, do we? We see them as weak. But then again, we may see a leader who's strong and great, but not good. And we know from history, don't we, many dictators, those who have risen to prominence and power, who were great men, strong, but yet were not good, were selfish and unwilling to provide, and their people went poor and many died in those situations. We want leaders to be strong and good. And the Lord shows himself in this psalm to be both great, strong, powerful, the great God of heaven, but also good, kind, the one who blesses his people. And we see this through providence, how God provides for our every need. He is both able, strong and powerful to provide for what we need, but he is also willing to provide for what we need. He is good. The Lord is our God. He is God over all the earth. Verse 6 says that he is the God in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. The psalmist is saying, basically, from east to west, north to south, high, low, wherever you go, there is one God. He is God over all the earth. And in those days, the countries would have their own idols in their own territories, the God of this mountain, or the God of this field, or the God of this place. And pagan thought still has that idea of things like that. But no, the God who reveals himself, the true and living God of the Bible, is the God over all things. He is the God of the universe. He holds everything in the palm of his hand. And the psalmist brings this out and says that the Lord does whatever pleases him. He is God over all. There is no restrictions with God. He cannot not perform because of some limitation. He is God over everything. We are subject to the elements, aren't we? If it hails down outside, we'll come indoors. We cannot stand outside in a very hard hailstorm, or in a blizzard, or in the wind and those kind of things. But the Lord is over all of the weather cycles. And he brings this out in verse 7. He makes the clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends the lightnings with the rain. He brings out the wind from his storehouses or his treasuries. And again, the people of Israel, as they went into the promised land out of Egypt and they set up their home there, they were very dependent upon the Lord to provide for their every need as they sowed the crops, as they waited for those crops to grow into fruition, as they would harvest those crops, as they would live by those crops. What would happen if the hail came, or the blizzard, or the heavy rain, or if there was no rain? And those crops were withheld, and they were so dependent. And in these days, we just go to Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Asda or whatever, and we just go and buy the food off the shelf. What if you went there tomorrow and there was no food on the shelf? The tins weren't there. What would we do? We've lost touch, haven't we, with this connection with these things. But the people were so dependent day by day by day for the Lord to give them their daily bread. And so are we. But we forget in this day and age, we just click on the mouse and it turns up by Amazon the next day. We just pop down the road and there it is on the shelf. The Lord is the one who provides for our needs, the same today as it was then. We mustn't forget. He is our creator. He is our provider. And he is great and good. He provides for every need. But there is something else here in these verses. There is a relationship established here. Because the psalmist says, I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. He is our God, our Lord, our Saviour. Not distant, not something that's so far removed that we cannot know him. But yet the Lord reveals himself to us. And we can know him as our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was Israel's testimony. As he delivered them from Egypt and he brought them out through the desert into the promised land, the Lord went with them. And he is and was their God. He chose them and delivered them, and by his goodness he blessed them. And so the psalmist can say here, the Lord, he is our Lord. Our Lord. I mentioned Exodus a couple of times already, and this seems to be very much in the forefront of the psalmist's mind as he's thinking about the Lord's dealings with his people, how he blesses and provides for them in the land now, and where they'd come from. Their identity is as the people of God who has delivered them. And there's some phrases here that echoes verses and phrases from the Exodus experience. For example, there's a phrase that Jethro said, who was Moses' father-in-law, and he said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, who rescued you, the people from the land of the Egyptians." And he said, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods." The Lord is greater. And this thought is picked up here in verse 5. I know that the Lord is great. This was said in Exodus, and I know this reality. The Lord is this God. He is true, and He is great, and He provides for our needs. He is good. He is good. And again, verse 7 in our psalm echoes again thoughts brought out in Deuteronomy. When the Lord promised the people there, as they covenanted, as they promised to be faithful to the Lord said, "I will bless you in the land." And He said, "I will open the heavens, the storehouses of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will not borrow from many." The Lord promised there and then He will bless them and give them rain in due season. He'll open the storehouses, the treasuries. And the psalmist says, yes, this is true. The Lord has done this. He's opened His treasuries, His storehouses, and He's lavished us with such gifts. And this was underpinned by this relationship. This formed the very basis of the Lord blessing His people. And for the praise which the psalmist brings to Him. The Lord, He is God, and He is our God, our Lord, our Saviour. And the psalmist brings out a contrast in the later part of this psalm. He says, it's not like the idols of the nations, verse 15. The idols may look good, they're silver and gold, they're shiny, but they're made by the men's hands. They have mouths, they look like they can speak, but they can't. They have eyes, but they can't see. They can't do anything. They're useless. They are unable to do anything. In fact, they're dead. But the Lord is not like that. This is the point he's getting across. The Lord is the living, true God. Not like the idols. Don't get distracted by those things that look good, but cannot save you, cannot provide for you. The Lord shows He is good by providing for His people. But secondly, before we think about some applications from these points, secondly, the Lord shows He is good by delivering His people. There's a couple of points for the slides there. Do you want to put both up? The Lord shows He is good by delivering His people. Verse 8 to 14. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. He sent His signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations, killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And He gave their land as an inheritance to His people Israel. What the psalmist is doing here is rehearsing how the Lord had saved them, how God had delivered them and brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery. He's retelling salvation's story. He's retelling redemption's story and how that the Lord had saved them from slavery. And this is the centre of this psalm, this deliverance which the psalmist wants to get across here. The Lord was present and active in their deliverance. They didn't save themselves. They didn't set themselves free from slavery. The Lord came effectively, as he says here, and fought for them and delivered them. Just the same as the Lord was the one who opened the heavens, His storehouses, and blessed them, so is the Lord who came and delivered them, set them free. He fought against the firstborn of Egypt and struck down. He sent His signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt. He is the one who struck down many nations who stood up to oppose God and His people. He delivered His people. And He brings them through the wilderness. We've got these strange names here, haven't we, of Og and and Bashan and Sihon, king of the Amorites. What do these names mean? We're so far removed from these events, we read over these things and think, that's a strange name, an unusual name. But it had great significance for the people as they were in the promised land. They look back and they read these words and think, yes, Sihon, he was a mighty man. You may think of someone in our context who's a mighty strong dictator, for example. And that had the same connotation for them and think, yes, he was strong, but he opposed God and God just struck him down. He was like, he wasn't there anymore. Oh, king of Bashan. Yes, he was a mighty man. These names had great significance. They were related to these times. And they could look back and think, how God saved us from these powerful men, these powerful armies, these powerful nations. And he brought us through. And the Lord fought for us. He went before us and with us. And the Lord, he is the one who has given us the land, the heritage. And he is the one who will vindicate us, his people. He will defend us and judge for us, as it says in verse 14. He is the one who will have compassion on us, even when we fall and fail. He is our God. He acts decisively for us, as he has in the past, so he does now, and so he will in the future. He does what he promises to do. Again, there's verses in Deuteronomy, and we won't go through these now, but there's thoughts that the psalmist is bringing out, reminding the people of what God has said in the past, he is doing now, and he will do in the future. And again, the psalmist, he reminds us here that the idols of the nations are not like this. They are non-saviours. Non-saviours. They cannot deliver, they cannot save. In fact, in verse 18, he says, those who make them will be like them. In fact, they are dead. And those who make them and worship them will be dead also, will come to nothing. But those, in contrast, who the Lord has delivered, who he provides for, who are in the land, he gives them life, and he will bless them. The Lord shows that he is good. And so on either side of this psalm, this providence and this deliverance, the psalmist has praise at both sides. Encapsulating these thoughts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O house of Israel, house of Aaron, house of Levi. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've gone through this psalm very rapidly this morning to get the sense and the feel of this psalm and what it meant for the people as they rehearsed these things. But what about today for us now in the 21st century? What can we glean from this? Why is it important for us here to praise the Lord? The Lord hasn't brought us out of Egypt physically. And like we said already, we go to the shops and get our produce. But no, we must remind ourselves that the Lord is the one who has saved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has set us free from slavery. As we've been reminded in the children's talk, we are that one who is bowed down in sin, slaves to sin, unable to set ourselves free from sin. If you're a Christian here this morning, this is your testimony. The Lord has saved you and set you free. And so we praise the Lord because he is good for doing so. He didn't have to save us. We were in open rebellion against him. And yet the Lord in his goodness has saved you. He's chosen you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He displays his goodness to you in him. And you're his treasured possession in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our identity is bound up in Christ. And he is the one who provides for your every need. Salvation, but then day by day he forgives us our sins. He provides for our physical needs and our spiritual needs. As we read his word, as he meets with you each day by his Spirit, he brings to us nourishment for our souls. And shouldn't this cause us to sing hallelujah? Shouldn't this cause us to be singing praise to our God? I'm not sure about you, but for me, sometimes it can feel like quite a chore. Each day we have to do our devotions. And we actually say it, don't we? I'm doing my devotions now. And we read our Bible and we remind ourselves of what God has done for us. But how much of that time is taken up in praise? Do we open the hymn book at the same time? And we might not have the greatest singing voice, but we sing our praise to God. We remind ourselves of what God has done and we sing our praise. Through the day, as those thoughts come back to our mind, we remind ourselves what I read this morning. I must praise the Lord. We may not start singing on the bus, that might be unusual. But in our minds, we can lift our hearts in praise, can't we? And perhaps when we're on our own, we might want to sing a hymn. We don't have to only sing on a Sunday, just the three hymns we sing in the service. We can sing in the week, that's okay. How much time do we spend praising God? The importance of praise. As we remind ourselves what God has done, what Jesus Christ, our Saviour, has done, is doing and will do for us. All that's bound up in Him, we should be singing praise to God, shouldn't we? And the Lord is to be the object of our praise. This is the reason why we're here this morning. As we said at the outset of the meeting, we've come to worship God. That is what we've done. It's not just an exercise of duty. It should be an expression of our heart, of praise, because we know what God has done for us. And as we remind ourselves each time we come together, that's why praise features in our services. Again, we mentioned the idols of the lands in the psalm. We don't have idols, I hope not in your homes, where there's a gold little statue on the mantelpiece or in the cupboard or something which we bring out and we look to, or a candle or something like that, where we would look to as some kind of object of praise. But there's other idols in our lives, more sophisticated, but they're just as dead. We can worship our work and become so bound up in our work, and it consumes all our time and all our energies, and we look to that to bring our satisfaction and to bring our identity. I found it quite hard when I left work to go into college, and I realised how much my identity was bound up in that job, in that role. Work is good, don't get me wrong, and we have an identity of sorts in that. But I think we do sometimes, we pour ourselves into it so much, it becomes an idol. Again, our families can be just the same. We can have families and children, and we lavish our goodness upon them. Again, that's a good thing. We should do that. God is our Father, lavishes good things on us, and so we should be good parents as well, and good grandparents. And but how much do we idolise our families to the extent where it consumes us? There's other things as well which we can mention. We wish we had that home, that big house. We look to that car, that person, whatever it might be. You think about it. There's other idols which we have in our lives, more sophisticated, but they cannot save us. They cannot deliver us from sin, and they cannot provide for us. We find out very quickly when we go to the supermarket and there's a crisis and there's no food, that supermarket chain is not our provider. Money is not our provider when the currency crashes and suddenly we find it's not worth what it was. The stocks crash. Our home was worth so much, but now it's worth so little. Our whole foundation of our existence crashes through the ground. We realise we'd invested so much in these things. God is the one who provides for us, and He is the object of our praise, not money or other things. But what are we looking for to deliver us in that time of crisis? What are we looking for when that illness comes unexpectedly? When that family situation, that crisis comes and there's a rift in the family, what do we look to deliver us in that trial? What battles are you facing this morning? What problems do you face? What difficulties? And where do you turn to in those things? I think we do, don't we? We turn to, what can I do first to fix this? Then my family and my friends, and we look at other things, and in the last resort, oh, I must pray about this. But we should be prayerful first and praising God, because He is still with us. even through those difficult times. Even then, when it's most unlikely to praise God, we can still praise Him because He is with us still. We must cultivate that in our lives before the trials come. So when they come, we know the reality of that situation. It is true. God is with you if you are His. He doesn't take us out of the problems. He goes with us through them. And we ought to be those who praise Him. Even as Paul and Silas were in the prison cell, you think, how unlikely were they to praise Him there, having been beaten and thrown in the cells? But yet, what did they hear them doing at midnight? What would you be doing at midnight in the prison? I know what I'll be doing, if I'm honest. They were singing. They were praising God. How challenging that is. But whatever we're going through, the dark situation in our lives, we ought to and we can still, we should be praising God because He is the one who is delivering us and providing for us. And finally, we should and we are to remind ourselves of salvation story. Preach the gospel to yourself day by day. We are neglectful of this, I think. And this psalm reminds us, it's the heart, it's the centre of this psalm, as the psalmist goes and shows how God came and delivered them and brought them out of Egypt. So we ought to be reminding ourselves as God's people what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, for us, His people. And where He is now, He's not a dead saviour, He is alive, risen from the dead, ascended in heaven. He is on the right hand of the Father. And He prays for you. And He's coming for you. One day, remind yourself of the gospel, the good news. This was Israel's story. This was their identity. As they gathered as families in the synagogues after the exile, as they gathered together as the people of God, wherever they gathered, they would remind themselves, we are the people of God. He has delivered us, saved us. And so we do today. As we come together here at Providence Chapel, we remind ourselves, this is our story. As you go home this afternoon, remind yourself around the table as you eat together as a family or with your friend or on your own. Remind yourself, this is my story. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour. He has rescued me and saved me. Preach the gospel to yourself. It is who we are. It is our identity. And as we do so, what's our response to that? We should be praising God. The importance of praise. Praise will naturally flow. If you feel downcast today, downhearted and under pressure, remind yourself, spend some moments reminding yourself of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Put those problems in perspective. See the Lord Jesus Christ and bring those problems to Him and say, Lord, I cannot deal with this on my own. I feel like I'm in slavery as if the people of God in Egypt were. Lord, set me free. Come to me in a situation and go through this trial with me. Lord, I look to You. I look to You and I praise You. I praise You because You are God and You are my Saviour. That is to be our response. What is your response this morning? What is your response this morning? We're not to be silent. This psalm is a loud psalm. It starts with a shout, Hallelujah! It ends with a shout, Hallelujah! And so we also should be loud in our praises to God as we sing His praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning, this timely reminder of the importance of praise. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us is amazing. What You have done for us is amazing. We don't deserve anything. Well, not because of anything You've seen in us. It's all because of Your goodness and grace. And so we bow our heads before You. We humbly kneel before You and we bless You because You have blessed us. We review Your excellencies and we say, You are great. You are mighty. You are good. You are our God. And You're the one who provides for our every need. So Lord, help us to be those who praise you and worship you in our lives day by day, and allowed in doing so, and help us, Lord, to share with others the goodness that you have given and bestowed upon us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's conclude with a hymn of praise, the loud hymn.